This week's parsha, Parshas Truma, begins with Hashem telling Moshe to tell us, "V'yikhu li truma, me'eis kol ish, asher yidvenu liboy, tikhu es trumosi." They shall set aside a contribution for me from every man whose heart motivates him. You shall collect these contributions. And the Torah goes on to explain that with these contributions we shall build a Mishkan, a sanctuary, so that we will experience Hashem's presence among us. Va'asu li mikdosh v'shachanti b'soichom. The Torah goes on to detail 13 materials necessary for creating the Mishkan structure, the vessels, and the garments that the Kohanim will be wearing during the service. Gold, silver, copper, various types of wool, linen, animal skins, etc. The last two items in this list are Avnei Shoyham v'Avnei Miluim, Lo'efoid v'lachoshen, two types of precious stones that will be placed in the ephod and the choshen, the breastplate, that the Kohen Godoil will be wearing. If you look at the order in which the items are arranged in this list, it seems like the order is based on their level of importance, their value. We begin with gold, silver, copper. We go on to the wools. Therefore, it's surprising that the precious stones Avnei Shoyham and Avnei Miluim appear at the end of the list. Reb Chaim ben Attar, in his commentary Or HaChaim, actually assumes that these precious stones were the most valuable items on this list. And therefore he wonders, why were they placed at the bottom of the list? He offers a fascinating explanation. The Gemara, the Talmud in Yoimo 75a, tells us that these precious stones, Avnei Shoyam and Avnei Miluim, were not available at all in the desert. They miraculously landed at the doorstep of the Jews, together with the mon that rained down from heaven. Says the Or HaChaim, the value of the valuables donated to the Mishkan lies in the effort that was invested in acquiring them, in the difficulty of parting with something that one worked hard for. On this scale, these precious stones had the least value, since they were acquired with no effort at all. That is why the Avnei Shoyham and Avnei Miluim appear at the bottom of the list. The Torah says, and they shall make for me a sanctuary, so that I may dwell among them. Our sages ask, he should have said, so that I will dwell in it, in the sanctuary. Why does the pasuk say, so that I may dwell among them? And they say that it's because the divine dwells within each and every one of them. The divine dwells in the human heart. All those who gave generously to create a space dedicated to the service of Hashem will find him in their own self. So it's not the market value of the objects contributed. It's the effort of mind, body, and soul that defines the value of the contribution. When we complete learning a Masechta in Shas, a tractate in the Talmud, we offer a prayer of thanksgivings. And we say, Anu Amelim Vehem Amelim. We toil, we exert ourselves, and they who are not lucky enough to toil in Torah, they also toil. However, Anu Amelim Umekablim Schar. We toil and we're rewarded. Heim Amelim Ve'eino Mekablim Schar. They toil and they don't receive a reward. Ask the Chafetz Chaim. They don't receive a reward. Their efforts don't pay off. Those who engage in secular studies or in any secular pursuits acquire material goods, fame, honor. Their efforts are definitely rewarded. Said the Chafetz Chaim, in the secular sphere there's reward, but it's for achievement. If you tried your best but didn't succeed in completing the job, you've done nothing. It's all about the bottom line. Toil, per se, is not rewarded. Whereas in the spiritual sphere, it's all above the bottom line. It's more about working towards goals than about reaching them. It's the effort and only the effort that counts. Anu amelim umekablim schar. The spiritual journey in itself is rewarding. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah 6a says, Im yoimar lecha odom, if a man will say to you, Lo yogati umotsosi, I didn't exert myself, and I found, al tamin, don't believe it. Yogati veloi motsosi, I did exert myself, and I did not find, al tamin, don't believe it. The Gemara concludes that this holds true only as far as Divrei Torah are concerned, as far as the learning of Torah is concerned. But in Mili de Alma, in worldly matters, it's not so. Obviously, the super smart student of Torah will figure out the meaning of a most complicated text without much toil. And On the other hand, let's face it, there are some that can exert themselves and end up not understanding. So what is the Gemara telling us? Obviously, the reason that there are people out there saying, Yogati veloy motzosi, I exerted myself and I didn't find, and there are people out there saying, I didn't exert myself and I found, is because it actually happened. So what is the Gemara saying? Our sages are redefining the find. When it comes to the spiritual, Chazal are telling us the find lies in the effort itself. If you exerted yourself, you found. Even if you didn't reach your goals, if you didn't exert yourself, you might feel accomplished, but in truth, you accomplished nothing at all. It's through man's efforts that he makes a connection with the divine. This is particularly emphasized with regards to the building of the Mishkan, where we will be bringing karbonos, offering sacrifices. It's important to remember that the main sacrifice is the sacrifice of self. That's where the real connection is made. The Avnei Shoyam and the Avnei Miluim, the precious stones, might be the priciest of all items contributed to the Mishkan. However, in terms of true value, they have the least value because they were acquired without effort. Lo yogati, I didn't exert myself. Umatzasi, and I found al tami. There's a prophecy, a very harsh prophecy by the Navi Hoshea, who says in the name of Hashem, Efkishem Ketoiv Shakul, Voekha Sgoer Libam, I will meet them like a bereaving mother bear, and I will rip their heart apart. The Radak, in his commentary to this verse, wonders why the parable of a mother bear in particular is used here. He suggests that a tiger or a lion might be more frightening. So why the bear? He says that he heard that in the process of childbirth, the mother bear has more pain, more difficulty than other animals. And since she invests so much in giving birth to her cubs, her connection with her children is much deeper than other animals. And that is why when she loses a child, she's so much angrier and so much more dangerous. That is why the Navi uses the mother bear as an example for the divine wrath. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia, 38a, says that if someone deposited fruit with his neighbor, even if the fruit is decaying or being eaten by mice, he shall not sell it on his behalf. Rav Kahane in the Gemara explains that the reason for this is because roitze odom bekav sheloi yoiser mitisho kavim shel chaveroi. A person is more pleased with his own goods, be it only a ninth part, than he is with the goods of others, be it multifold. Rashi is Chaviva Olov al Yedei She'omal Bohen. They are cherished by him because he exerted himself in growing them. Hardship, work, effort, pain make the connection so much deeper. Since in the spiritual sphere, it's all about making the connection with the one above, it's self-understood that finding depends on the measure of effort. The Shekhinah dwells in our efforts, not in our accomplishments. During the last days of the Baal Shem Tov's life, his elderly disciples turned to him and asked, Rebbe, how will we find in the future a Rebbe who will guide us in the ways of Avodas Hashem, who will show us the way to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam? How will we check him out? How will we know if he's a tzaddik emes? How will we know if he's a truly righteous man? The Baal Shem Tov said to them, the test will be, you will ask him for advice, an etzah, a method to rid yourselves of machshavos zoros during davening, to rid yourself of foreign thoughts during your prayers. If he will offer you advice, if he will give you a method, you will know that he's not a righteous man. Because there is no etzah, there is no method to rid yourself of foreign thoughts during prayers. It's a lifelong, ongoing struggle that we, a battle that we fight to the last day of our lives. The ends of Avodas Hashem are in the means. The Shekhinah dwells in our efforts. We live in a goal-oriented society that's also constantly shortening the shortcuts, making it even easier to reach those goals. It's important to constantly remind ourselves of what the Mishnah tells us, Lo yolecho ha-malocha ligmoy, ve'ein ato ben choyin lipoter mimeno. When it comes to the spiritual, it is not your responsibility to complete the task. It's your duty to work towards that goal. It's an ongoing struggle to improve. And that's what counts. Some cheap wool that was acquired through effort carries more weight, has more value than the pricey, precious stones that were acquired with no effort. There are no spiritual shortcuts. There's no spiritual lottery. It's a long but rewarding journey. A guten Shabbos.